Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back for hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette with Dr. Samira Umat in the studio and also Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we're taking your calls at 800-465-8770. Get in our phone queue now. Don't wait till the very end. We're talking with Robert about the mouth ulcers and other things that are going on.
And usually
side effects.
You know, the best studied people, human studies, are in the transplant patients. Now, they're an abnormal group to start with because these are people that have had kidney failure or lung cancer or, you know, significant diseases. So they're not the healthiest folks to start with. And they are on higher doses of rapamycin than are usually used in the longevity field. They take 1 or 2 milligrams every day. Well, 2 milligrams a day is 14 milligrams a week, and most people on rapamycin for longevity are on less than half that. They're on about 6 milligrams a week, 6 milligrams in one dose. So they get a higher dose one day. And what we know about rapamycin is it normally decreases SIRT1, SIRT1 genes, but at high doses, it also suppresses SIRT2. And SIRT2 suppression decreases your immune response. Mm. And of course, that's part of why they're on a high dose. They want to suppress their immune response so they don't attack this other person's kidney or lung or heart that these people have in their body. So they're trying to interfere with the immune system. And the mouth ulcers are more related to people that have immunosuppression. So people using rapamycin at the more conventional longevity doses rarely will get that. It occurs, but it's not common. And when it does occur, it's usually for only a day or two, and then they fade as that immune response clears. So, you know, that's not a big issue. Of more interest to me is that it also raises blood sugar. And it raises cholesterol. Now, both rising blood sugar and cholesterol are normally connected with shortened lifespan and higher disease states. Mm-hmm. And yet, in rapamycin patients, raising the blood sugar and the cholesterol does not seem to result in shortened lifespan. In fact, it's just the opposite. They're living longer. So on the one hand, we've got a marker that we would normally associate with a bad sign, and in a drug use that overall results in longer, healthier life. So don't ask me to explain that. I can't. You know, I observe it. I comment on it. I'm not in control of it. Good Lord did not let me run that part of the universe for some reason, despite my MD obviously standing for minor deity. I'm just a minor deity.
Yeah,
not
he gave
a major
you enough
one.
Of the universe. So.
That's right. So,
okay. Well, let me just comment in leaving here because I want to do my service to mankind. I have Crohn's disease, and I want to restate that drinking Ensure for about 3 or 4 days. I think people should try it because it worked amazing for me, and it may be just me. I understand that, but I was amazed. So,
Well, yeah.
And how long you can stay on that stuff or anything else, but at least for short term, it sure made a difference.
Yeah, was that all that you did, Robert? Was just insure only for
which,
those
you know, it's,
liquid diet for about 3 or 4 days until I noticed the difference.
Yeah, and it provides, you know, a good protein load. It's got vitamins and minerals. You know, it's a very nutritious drink. Yeah, and, you know, folks, lots of folks that are elderly with poor dietary practices are encouraged to go on Ensure for one meal per day. And you got older folks that are losing weight and you're having trouble keeping their weight up.
This is good.
Getting them on an extra
My sister did that for
day.
That reason for, for a long time.
Yeah. So, you know, I certainly have no objection to it. And if it cleared your liquid stools, by all means, give it a try. Because that fluid and electrolyte loss with diarrhea in Crohn's can cause serious issues.
So. Yeah. Well, I tried initially a lot of fiber and what's called a healthy diet, and it nearly killed me. It did not work at all.
Sure.
So I think fiber is really bad. Fiber for me was just terrible. So liquid diet just helps. So anyway, that's my comment. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You're welcome, sir.
We appreciate it. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, Robert. So for some, fiber would not be a good thing, right, Dr. Mixon?
Well, you got to remember, people with Crohn's disease have a sick, inflamed, abnormal bowel. In people with a healthy bowel, fiber is a very, very good thing.
Yes.
Okay, but you know, there are disease conditions in which what is normally good turns out to be quite an irritant.
Okay.
And that's
apparently
the case with him.
All right. Taking your calls today at Leading Edge Medicine, 800-465-8770. We have Ray calling from the East Side. Good morning, Ray.
Hello, Ray.
Hey, good morning. Hey, cholesterol. I have high cholesterol, and I've taken statins, and all they do is give me muscle aches, brain fog, fatigue. So I just deal with it. So there's this one that they want to give me. And I'm going to spell it for you here.
Okay.
Well, I lost a little page.
Get your glasses.
Oh, here it is. It's spelled E-Z-E-T-I-M-I-B-E.
Yeah.
And, Zetia. You know, when I read the side effects on that, oh, my gosh. It's just, you know, a mile long. But I kind of wondering... wondering what your thoughts on that, on this one. It's supposedly stopped the absorption of cholesterol in the intestines, what my doctor told me.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's the idea. It's a an interesting drug. It's been around for ever and a day, it seems, because I was starting to use this back when I was a resident.
Just a few years ago?
Yeah, nearly 50 years ago.
Okay,
here's the idea. About one third of your serum cholesterol comes from your diet. Okay. And about two thirds of the cholesterol in your bloodstream is recreated from cholesterol degradation products. Cholesterol is not a decoration. It doesn't come in your body and just hang around. You use it. You burn it. It's the mother hormone. You make all your other hormones out of cholesterol. It's also critical for energy metabolism, for brain function, for muscle function, etc., which is why when you take a drug that suppresses cholesterol metabolism throughout your body, you get these side effects because you're interfering with cholesterol metabolism in your brain and your muscles and your gut and so on. Generally, what will happen is in a healthy person, you make cholesterol, our good old mother hormone. You then chew up the cholesterol, making all the stuff that it has to make and use. And the byproducts of this metabolized cholesterol get dumped by the liver into the stool. And then your body reabsorbs those degradation fragments from cholesterol, and you make new cholesterol out of the old used fragments. So you don't waste them. Okay? You recycle them and make new cholesterol. And that accounts for about two-thirds of the cholesterol in your body at any given time is what you are reproducing. So this medication keeps you from reabsorbing those degradation products. So your body burns up its cholesterol, dumps the products into the gut, this drug prevents you from reabsorbing them to make new cholesterol. And that's how it lowers your cholesterol. Doesn't work right away, because as you're burning what you've got now, you're going to inhibit the absorption or reabsorption of some fraction of that. And so over a period of several months, your cholesterol level slowly comes down. But this drug, like every other thing we do in medicine, follows Dr. Mixon's four rules of medicine.
Yeah. Let's review them.
First rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There are downsides to everything you do, everything you take, every decision you make. Second rule, the proper dose of anything is just enough to do the job. The higher the dose you have to take, the higher the complications and side effects. Third rule, if you don't measure, you don't know. So you have to keep measuring not just your cholesterol, but also the other liver enzymes and so on that may be impacted by this drug. And the fourth rule is the one I hate. It says you can do everything right and things can still go to hell. Yeah, and that's just the way it is. So that is Medicine and Much of Life by Dr. Mixon. So yes.
I believe that, but have you noticed people
some people get really good results.
They do, yes. Zetia works well, and it works in combination with other drugs. It allows them to reduce the dose of the statin sometimes.
Right.
But yeah, I've seen it work very well.
Yep. So
how do you pronounce it?
Zetia. Z-E-T-I-A.
Yeah, that's the brand.
This is, well, no, it is.
They've given you the generic name, okay. the chemical name.
Oh, yeah.
Zetia is the brand name.
Marketing, yeah. The company calls it Zetia. Okay. You have the generic name of the drug. Yeah.
It's easier to say, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So most people do pretty well with it, yeah.
Most people do pretty well with it.
Yeah. Do I have time for another question?
Sure. Oh, can I ask you about the statins? Did you take high enough doses of CoQ10 while you were on the statins?
Oh, I take CoQ10 every day. I was taking red yeast rice.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I take CoQ10. So then I switched over to the... it was another generic name of some, you know, Lipitor, Crestor,
sure.
I don't know what it was.
Okay.
But anyway, yes, I did.
Okay.
I'm getting, I think they pronounce it arthroscopic surgery on my knee. Mm-hmm. And they're going to put me under for that.
Uh-huh.
What are the problems with getting put under? I mean, can they use propofol for that kind of cessation?
They often do use propofol to put you under, just because it's worked so fast. You know,
a safer drug than some of the other ones.
Yeah, it's a great induction drug. It's certainly one. You know, they tell you, okay, we're going to give you this now. You might feel, and you're gone.
Count backward, and you're out.
That's the way it is with me.
Yeah.
That's right.
That
one that you've talked about in the past where it affects people, you know,
It's not the drug itself.
Memory and stuff.
Yeah, it's not the drug itself. It's how deep they take you and how well oxygenated you stay and how good your blood flow stays. Basically, when people get deep anesthesia so that they are not able to breathe on their own and they have to get someone breathing for them, and especially in cases where they have to stop your circulation, so the circulation of the blood is diminished and you now are going on a heart-lung pump that is oxygenating and moving your blood through your body, those people drop their IQ significantly. And sometimes it comes back over time, and sometimes it doesn't. Old people's brains are fragile. They are damaged more easily, and they have less recovery capacity than young people's brains. And so, you know, whenever I'm going to have an anesthetic of some sort, I don't just meet my anesthesiologist at the time of surgery. Okay, I find out who it's going to be, and I go chat with them in advance, and I tell them flat out, I make my living with my brain. I want to keep every neuron I've got. In fact, I'd like to grow a few extras. So, you know, I want you to make sure that I am super well oxygenated and take me as light as you can manage without having me squirm and move to irritate the surgeon.
Okay. Yes.
Good idea. I think I'll do that. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Ray. And there's room for you. We're going to take a quick break and then back. Get in our call queue. Here is the number, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We would love to talk with you next on Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline.
Here we are. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. We're ooing and aahing at all those northern lights, pictures.
We all have friends sending us,
yes. Yeah.
Oh,
sending us pictures from around the country.
It was amazing. Yeah.
So beautiful.
Incredible.
We have
and
a chance tonight.
They had them in the southern states, maybe the thing they said Alabama, California, and in Europe, too. People are sending pictures, posting pictures from
Europe. Europe is pretty far north.
Yeah.
Okay. But most
it
vivid,
is.
Like in our
but
area.
This time it was south, so it was like very interesting.
It was on the Oceanic website to see, will we get it today? And it said that we have a good chance of seeing those tonight. And we certainly have those clear
skies.
Well,
and also they mentioned, you know, there might be some outages, some cell phones, some GPS signals. Yeah. So let's see.
There you go. Take pictures. Just wear your foil
hat. Cell phone goes out between 11 and 3 a.m. I don't give a damn.
That's right. You're building brain cells as you're sleeping.
That's
right,
right.
Dr. Mixon.
I'm busy sleeping.
There we go. We're back.
Snuggled up next to bending.
Leading Edge Medicine continues. Phone lines are open for you at 800-465-8770. We had a text from John who has a friend that recently was diagnosed with spinal stenosis and just wanted to know, okay, so what is this and what do I do next? What are the next steps? Spinal stenosis.
Spinal stenosis. Okay. Basically, our vertebra are bone, a series of bones are kind of stacked on top of each other, and they've got a hole in the middle that the spinal cord goes through. And as we age and we use our backs, and there's chronic inflammation and irritation, we start laying down extra calcium. Mm. And so we kind of get these calcium deposits that start to impinge on that canal. And it narrows the pathway for the spinal cord to go through. And if it gets too narrow, then it starts to squish the spinal cord and you start getting neurologic symptoms.
Okay.
And used to be, in the bad old days, they had to go in and basically cut and chisel away the back part of the vertebra where it was being narrowed to give your spinal cord room. But of course, when you start taking away parts of the structural bone that hold your back together, not a wonderful idea.
Getting weaker.
Yeah. So they had to then find ways to buttress it and, you know, try to make the parts they cut away stronger. Now, Dan Nelson was describing a procedure that he has been doing for spinal stenosis at times where he just kind of makes a little minimally invasive incision, goes in, uses a laser to just zap that little pieces of bone and open it up.
Wow.
And done under, you know, minimal anesthesia, takes a few minutes, and your recovery is minimal because you haven't, you know, opened your whole back up and sawed away hunks of your spine.
Muscle and nerves.
You just zapped the little bits of tissue that are compressing the spinal cord.
Wow.
And
okay.
Just vaporize that and make it go away. So, you know, I'd say give my friend Dan Nelson a call.
Okay, now that you've had your diagnosis.
Yes.
Yes, okay, check out Dr. Dan Nelson and his team at Pro Ortho. And here is the number, in case you're listening. I'll give it to you. 425-823-4000. You can also go to his website, which is danielnelsonmd.com, and get some information there, kind of look around. But do make an appointment. That would be good to get in and find out what your options are before, you know, just diving into something. See if you can do something a little less invasive. Yep. Wow. What causes that, Dr. Mixon?
Wear and tear and living a long
aging.
Time.
Okay. Aging will cause that. So, yeah. All right.
Most people start getting some degenerative changes in their spine just because, you know, we stand upright and we put a lot of pressure on it and we bend and we flex and, you know, we just develop little arthritic changes and, you know, hypercalcification in places. And,
okay.
You know, so, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. The amount of calcification you've got bouncing around your spine, the amount of so-called degenerative changes doesn't seem to correlate well with what kind of pain you have.
Yes.
Some people have all kind of, you look at their x-ray or their MRI, you say, my God,
how do
this
you function?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the person says, oh, I'm fine. I have no problems and no pain. Mm-hmm. And other people you find very mild,
pristine.
Fairly minimal, and yet they are in misery.
Yeah.
So you don't just go by the, you know, the imaging study. You have to go by the imaging study and the patient's report and your neurologic exam to see if the nerves are actually getting whacked.
Okay. Very good. Waiting for that next call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770 with your questions. We're going to go over to Seattle right now, and Mary Lou is there. Hi, Mary Lou. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning to you. I was late getting the radio turned on this morning, but here you're talking about things that are of concern to me.
Okay.
I'm 86, and I've you were talking about Zetia, and you were talking about anesthesia, and those. I'm concerned about all those things. Now, right now, I take rosuvastatin and Zetia, okay, and I take some CoQ10, but I never know. I don't know how much CoQ10 a person should take, and the time of days. Maybe does that make any difference? And so maybe you could tell me a little more about the CoQ10.
Okay. Coenzyme Q10 is just that. It's a coenzyme. It actually is involved in energy production within the cell, the mitochondria. And so as if people don't have enough CoQ10, they simply cannot produce enough of the energy of life within their cells. And this is every cell in your body. This is your brain, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your bones, your everything. And it turns out that we make less and less CoQ10 as we get older. That's part of the dysfunction and the progressive weakness of age. You know, you're not as strong as you were at 20. It's just the way it goes. And the statin drugs in the process of lowering cholesterol also significantly lower CoQ10. So we suggest everybody that is on a statin of any kind should be on a couple of hundred, 200, even 300 milligrams a day of CoQ10. I have never found a paper anywhere in the literature where somebody had an adverse effect from taking too much CoQ10. Okay. The only adverse effect I've been able to find is on your pocketbook. So, you know, if you buy the pricey brand.
Well, I've been taking 200 milligram pills when I get at it, maybe one in the morning and one later in the day. And
that's fine.
So you think 300 might be okay for me?
Sure. I take 300. Okay, I take 200 in my morning pills and 100 in my evening. And it's, you know, and that's kind of arbitrary. I can't tell you that there is a study that says this person at this age on this regimen should take that amount of CoQ10.
But it doesn't seem to have a downside anyway.
That's right. I have not ever seen a paper documenting a downside, so I tend to err on the side of being robust in my CoQ10.
But, you know, if you wanted to ever measure, we do a micronutrient test in our office, and you can find out whether you're taking adequate amounts or whether you need more.
That's true.
Well, that's good that can be tested. Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
And thank you for touching on anesthesia last week and this week and everything. You know, that concerns me because being 86 and then thinking, well, you never know, you're going to fall down or something's going to happen. And like you say, meeting with the anesthesiologist, going over that, I hope it would do some good because it worries me.
Yes.
I don't want to lose any more brain function either. So
absolutely not. You know, so how much is enough? A little more than I've got.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, and carry on. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Well, bye bye.
For your call.
Very good. We actually had a little trivia question at work that was, "What is the highest paid job?" And anesthesiologist was up there. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they've got your life in their gas bubbles in their hands.
And they're hospital based.
Okay.
Doctors who work in hospitals make a lot more money than doctors who work in private offices.
Private practice. Okay.
Because they can charge more. The government pays them more. Just because they're in the hospital and have a better union or something.
Okay.
I
remember that jogged my memory about, I got to ask Dr. Mixon if this is true.
Hospitals that are paying their administrators millions of dollars a year, they can afford to buy a lot more politicians than I can.
Yeah.
Well, doctors don't make millions of dollars a year, though.
No, but the anesthesia, or not the anesthesia, the administrators do.
Administrators do, yes. Not doctors.
No.
Wow. Well, Dr. Mixon, I think if you could buy any politician, I don't know that you would want to right now. Are there any that would be that you would spend good money on?
Depends on, you know, what I'm going to use them for.
Yeah, that's true.
Target practice, dog food. I mean, there are politicians should be ground up and sold for fertilizer, but, you know.
Let's take a break. I hear the music, and the phone lines are wide open for you. 800-465-8770 on this beautiful day. Mother's Day weekend, Leading Edge Medicine continues in just a moment. Medicine. We have talked about everything today. The Northern Lights and Dr. Umat receiving once again one of the top 50 women in medicine, an award that we're so proud of you. Second year in a row.
It came as a total surprise. Last year, too, it did. But this year was like, what? Again?
How cool is that? And the first thing I'm thinking is, okay, next year for sure, three in a row. There we go. Set the bar. And your health updates today. We have talked about so many different things. Room for you on the phone. Phone lines are open. 800-465-8770. Thinking a lot of folks might be outside thinking, okay, I better get out there before it gets too hot.
Or too cold and rainy again.
Yes, which it will be doing very soon, too.
But having said that, every year I have at least a few people that'll tell me, you know, it's just too hot. I'm just going to stay indoors.
Yes. And a few people were doing that yesterday. I guess yesterday was supposed to be one of our hottest. But today's still
upper 70s. Came a little early.
Yeah.
In May, you know, before Mother's Day.
That's right. Yeah. So at least the Mother's Day weekend will be beautiful for us.
Absolutely excited.
If you're going outside. But if you've got a question, Call now. Don't call right before the show ends. 800-465-8770. Let's talk longevity for a moment here, Dr. Umat.
Yes.
You have this beautiful new facility here in Kirkland, along with our facilities in Tacoma and in Linwood.
Yes.
And you've been so busy. A lot of folks coming in.
Yeah.
And still, what would you say are some of the things you're really focusing on right now at longevity?
Well, you know, I do think that from the response that we get every time we host outside patients for testing or for something new, there is obviously a lot of interest. People are interested in what we say. They're interested in finding out more about themselves, and they're not getting this information from their providers. And again, I don't blame a lot of the providers. There just isn't any time. They're mm-hmm. controlled by insurance. Insurance will have to pay for the bills, and so they're told what they can and cannot order. And sometimes maybe they just don't know because there isn't any time to know and learn about more things. But there are so many easy things to do now that'll give us a peek into what is really happening inside of you that can then alert you about trouble that is lurking in the background or around the corner. And you can be proactive and prevent it rather than wait for it to just come along and then you be bulldozed by it.
And you're like,
so
what?
That's what this is all about. Just mm-hmm. giving you the opportunity to learn a little bit more so that bulldozer doesn't flatten you out.
Yeah. Right.
I was chatting with a colleague down in Texas yesterday or day before. And you know, we were kind of lamenting that the medical care system in America is, in fact, a disease management system.
It is.
It's set up to treat your diseases yes. after they occur.
That's right.
And we do very little in traditional medicine to prevent disease.
Right. It's reactionary. We yeah. react to a problem. We you don't know, prevent a problem.
Most of the prevention is in the form of vaccines. Mm-hmm. We give kids vaccines to help prevent infectious diseases, but we don't really have an aggressive program to prevent grown-ups from getting sick. You know, there's really no aggressive program in America to prevent heart disease. We have vast numbers of interventions to treat
right.
different forms of heart
yeah,
disease,
right.
but not to prevent it.
Right.
Same thing with kidney disease and, you know, neurologic dysfunction and dementias. Everybody is looking for cures to treat the disease after they occur, when it's a lot easier to prevent the disease than it is to treat it.
Right.
And that's what we do at Longevity. We're one of the few clinics in America that are really aimed at preventing as much human decline and disease as possible. And I have to say decline and disease, because a lot of our decline, a lot of the ways we go downhill and get slower, fatter, weaker, dumber, sexless, etc., are considered to be, quote, normal mm-hmm. just because you're getting old. You go to your doctor and you complain about all of these things. He says, well, what do you expect? You're old.
Well, yeah, you know? It's normal.
Yeah, it's normal, because normal is what usually happens.
Yeah.
And yeah, old age kills 100% of its victims eventually.
Yeah.
First it cripples them, then it kills them. And anything that cripples and then kills 100% of its victims should be treated. It should be addressed. And that's why we have Longevity Medical Clinic. You know, when I say I want people to be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier, then that's real. And the reality is we can do that for a lot of people. But the earlier they let us start, and the more active role they're willing to take in their therapy, the better they will do.
Yeah.
We can't do it to them. We can't do it for them. We have to do it with them, because they're free human beings in charge of their own life. You know, we can give them the guidance. We can do the measurements. We can let them know how they're doing in their efforts. And we can provide the laboratory. We can provide the medications. We can provide, you know, the tools to work with. But it's got to be a cooperative effort.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't give a damn, then what will happen will happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you it's care coming, yeah. about yourself,
mm-hmm.
if you think that you are important enough
mm-hmm.
to actually intervene,
mm-hmm.
to make yourself live a longer, more robust, happier, more fulfilling life, you ought to come to Longevity Medical Clinic. And as for the rest of it, hey, if you don't mind, it don't matter.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm. We want you to come in. We want you to get healthier. We want you to take the tests, meet our staff, and hopefully be here for a very long time feeling the best you have in years. Let's go to the phones. Beverly from Redmond on the line. Hi, Beverly. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. I'd like to, excuse my prawn, I'd like to find out if there's, I can go to the pharmacy and there's some kind of a test where I can and get to test my blood sugar.
Oh, sure. I mean, blood sugars can be tested just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the pharmacies are doing finger sticks, though.
I don't know.
What I'm looking at is I am not working right now. I have no medical insurance, but I know a lot of pharmacies have you test strips for this or, you know what
sure.
I mean, some disease or something.
Yeah, and there are.
So I can't go to the doctor because I don't have any medical insurance.
I see. Well, I disagree with that. It's just a matter of, you know, if you don't have medical insurance, then you pay for it directly instead of paying the insurance company and then they pay for it. But it's getting paid for either way, and it's all coming out of your pocket. It's just you pay the insurance company the premium first. Doctor...
They don't take you... It's a doctor unless you have medical insurance. At least my experience, you have to say, yeah, I have insurance with, you know, Joe and Tom's whatever company.
I understand, yeah. Well, actually, I think everybody, I've never met a doctor that won't take money instead of insurance.
Right, self-pay.
Yeah, we call it self-pay. But, all right, let's see.
Doctor, but if you go to a big place like UW or something...
That's
you won't
true.
Get past the door if you don't.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. They all assume you have insurance. But you sound like a lady of some mature years, so I'm presuming you have Medicare, don't you?
Well, I suppose. I've never using it because you don't get the same quality of care generally from Medicare that you would get from, you know, a normal
I agree.
Situation.
Yeah, but everybody 65 and up has Medicare. And everybody in Washington State that has a income that is below the median qualifies for AppleCare, which is a state-covered insurance. So, but I agree, the quality of care is pretty basic. You're not going to get the absolute new cutting edge. Okay,
but
so
checking blood sugar,
blood sugar is about as basic as you can get. I'll tell you what, if you go to the pharmacy, you can buy a little glucose monitor for $30 that will let you check your blood sugar over and over and over again. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like perhaps a better scheme.
Yeah.
Have you had high blood pressure or high blood sugar before? Has that been an issue for you?
I'm just trying to make sure that it's low. Actually, since I've been gluten-free, that's a wonderful deterrent for, you know, eating high sugar things like desserts and, you know, and stuff.
Yeah,
certainly.
And rice. Yeah.
It's sure.
A great deterrent for carbs. You know?
Yes. Well, if you go over go over to Costco or Walmart or Fred Meyer, you know, any of the lower cost chain stores that have pharmacies, they will have on a counter, usually very close to the pharmacist, little glucose monitors, and they're not very expensive. They come in a variety of cost and quality like everything else on earth. But you can usually pick those up for a very modest fee, and the monitor usually comes with 30 or so test strips, which just for that you can test yourself up to 30 times just with those 30 strips. And then, of course, you can always buy more strips and test yourself as often as you want. So, but you don't need a prescription or anything to get the monitor.
So if you needed more than the 30, down the road, then you could go to the pharmacy and they'd be able to
Yeah, they'll sell you all the strips you want, sure. And in fact, the monitors are dirt cheap. The reason the monitors are cheap is they make the money off the strips.
Ah.
Okay. So, so the monitor is often a loss leader just to get you in the door to start buying their strips.
There you go. And Dr. Mixon, if her blood sugar is in a good range and she had like in the fives, then she wouldn't have to test several times a day,
now,
right?
Fives, you're talking about
hemoglobin A1C.
Oh, this is the blood sugar.
A fasting blood sugar. So,
okay, I'm thinking something completely
different. Fasting blood sugar, you would like it below 90 in the mornings and preferably down to 70s and 80s. But for a fasting blood sugar, over 120 is diabetic.
Okay.
So does that monitor come with directions as to how to use it if you have to do it at a certain time or a certain situation?
Basically, it won't tell you when to do it, but it gives you directions on how to use it. And most of them are very simple. You prick your finger. You put a drop of blood on the strip, you stick the strip in the machine, and it reads your blood sugar. Okay, so it's kind of hard to mess up.
You were talking about fasting blood sugar, so do you have to fast before you do it?
Well, fasting sugar in the morning will be your lowest blood sugar of the day. Okay, tell you what, hold on for a minute or two. We have to take this break.
Yes.
But we'll be right back, okay?
Very good. And we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. And we're back. And we're still standing, Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Umat. We're talking with Beverly about taking those blood sugar tests.
Your blood sugar is going to vary dramatically depending on when you take it in comparison to your eating. A fasting sugar would be a sugar that you would take when you have had nothing to eat for at least 6 hours. So many people do it first thing in the morning because they're not eating while they're asleep at night. And so they get up in the morning with an empty tummy and they can check their blood sugar. And that'll give you a value that should be, well below 120. We prefer it to be down 70, 80, 90 sort of range. If you have a fasting sugar that is consistently over 120, then you meet the definition of being diabetic.
Okay, on the monitor, the way it reads out is as numbers like that. And said, I remember one time I was given something that said you're like 5.2 or.
Okay, now that's a hemoglobin A1C. That's not a blood sugar per se. That one tells us what percentage of your red blood cells have been damaged by sugar. And that tells us, on average, what your average sugar has been over the course of the last 3 months or so. So that gives us a long-term view of your sugar. And then the blood sugar monitors tell you what your sugar is right now.
Okay, so what is the lowest read on those? What's the lowest number?
Well, I mean, they'll go
like 50 and 60 and 20.
No. We'd prefer it to be somewhere between 70 and 90 is kind of a good range in the morning when you're fasting. If it gets much below about 60, you start getting lightheaded and you may even pass out. Low blood sugar will cause people to lose consciousness. So your sugar should run never lower than mid 60s. And we prefer between 70 and 90 in that range. And if it's consistently over 120, then you're a diabetic. But, if you check your sugar 30 minutes after you eat, let's say you go and you have a nice big donut and wash it down with Coca-Cola, you can expect 30 minutes later your sugar is going to hit 150, 160.
Whoa.
But then it should, your your pancreas should pump out a bunch of insulin, and that sugar should drop dramatically. And within 3 to 4 hours, it should be back down in that, you know, 70 to 90 range. That's what we're hoping for.
Okay. Well, that sounds like I have the information I need then.
Okay. Well, good luck, my dear.
Yes.
And, you know. Yeah. Hopefully you'll find a good physician you can develop a long-term relationship with.
Yes. They are out there. They are out there.
They are out there. I was a country doctor for 21 years of my practice. Mm-hmm. And I saw everything from delivered hundreds of babies, and I took care of them as they grew up, and then, you know.
Delivered their kids.
I've delivered children from children that I have delivered. That is true. And I have, at the other end of the spectrum, sat with them while they left this world. Mm. So, you know, it's there are doctors that still do what I used to do.
And specialize in senior health, too.
Yep.
That's what my mom went to until she was 91.
Yep.
Yeah, doctors that understand all the uniquities.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for the call, young lady. Bye-bye.
We wish you luck, Beverly. Thank you for the call. This is Leading Edge Medicine today. Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon in the studio. Time for one more question. If you get on the phone quickly, you can get through at 800-465-8770. John wanted to know, does Leading Edge Medicine air in the Yakima area?
It doesn't air in the Yakima area
because
the little transmitting towers don't go that far.
Yeah, we're an AM radio station, so it doesn't go that far.
But we are streamed, live streamed. And so, you know, if you go to the radio station's website.
KTTH in Seattle.
And at least that's for the first 2 hours. Uh-huh. The second 2 hours is the other station. Mm-hmm. But you can download their app. And then you can stream us anywhere on earth.
Yeah, just push listen live and then you can hear. And here's the other option for you too. You can always go to our website, lmclinic.com. Each of the live radio shows is then turned into a type of podcast that you can hear about every Tuesday or Wednesday. Those are loaded. And we have all of them on our website. Just look under radio shows.
Go back for years.
Yes, yes. So if you missed a week or two, you can go back and listen to them over and over again. So, yeah, John was wanting to know, but if he's in Yakima, doesn't hear us talking about it, but others who are listening.
That's right.
That's why we get calls from all over the United States.
Calls from Texas and Tennessee.
They take us with them.
Because
on the
they're
street.
Listening on their app. And I think we're getting close enough. You know, the new video studio should be finished. They're going to do this room we're in right now is going to be destroyed.
Oh.
It's going to be opened up into a much, much larger studio. We've got all the cameras and lights and stuff, and we are still working with a set designer to get the sets all set up.
Very good.
But my hope, not a promise yet, but I'm pretty sure 90% by sometime mid-June.
Wow. Okay.
Middle of next month. We should start streaming audio and visual.
Okay.
And you can either listen to us on the radio, or you'll be able to go to your phone or your laptop or your desktop computer and watch us live for the whole 4 hours.
Yes. Yes. For the doctors dancing during the time. And
that's right.
And my crazy hair today. I've got crazy hair going on today. I'll have to be more cognizant of that. All right. We have one more question that was texted into us. Sarah wanted to know the different types of CoQ10. And I know we have some here at Longevity.
Yeah, we do. Well, you see commercials for, you know, some brands saying ours is so much better.
It's the best.
Here's basically the way to tell. If it's in a gel cap, it's lipophilic. It's basically in oil. And those are the best absorbed.
That's what we have. They're white little gel caps.
That's right. If it's a dry pill, it's not well absorbed. Mm. That's the old-fashioned kind. But frankly, I don't know anybody that makes the dry pills anymore. I think everybody's gone to the lipophilic form. So,
what about the liquids, Jerry?
Well, the liquids are still usually use an alcohol or glycol base, and they should also be well absorbed.
Okay.
So it's hard to get a bad quality CoQ10 anymore.
All right. And what did you say? The average, you take 300 milligrams a day, Dr. Mixon? Yeah,
our capsules are 100 milligrams each. I know there are some on the market that are 200 milligrams.
And 300, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, you can take big, big doses. And if you're on a statin, you should be on at least 200 or 300 minimum. You know, I'm not on statins or anything, so I take 300 a day, 200 in the morning, 100 at night.
Okay. What is the danger of just taking all three at the same time in the morning? Nothing. Okay. Nothing. You just split them up a little bit.
I just split up. You know, I've got so much stuff that I take a fistful in the morning and another fistful in the evening.
So, and he has big hands.
And I have big hands. That's right.
All right. And do you like to take them all at the same time? I know I do.
Oh,
and
no.
I think of Dr. Umat every time I pop the whole bunch in there. Yeah. I'm like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, I mean, there are people that take one pill at a time. You know, one pill, sip of water, one pill, sip of water. I fill my hand. I stick my mouth up. I suck a bunch of them in my mouth. I swallow it with the water. I usually take two sucks.
Yes.
To get all my morning pills in. But that's, you know, two swallows of water
and then you're
and all my, I don't know what it is, 15, 16 pills are gone.
Very good. So. Very good. Wow. Now, for somebody listening, we just have like a minute left here of the show, a minute or two left. For somebody listening that is not taking any type of supplement at all, let's say they're 70 years old listening, they're not taking any type of supplement. What is a good thing to start with? Or what is one of the most important things that they should be taking?
Vitamin D.
Okay, because of where we live and the lack of sunshine.
Lack of sunshine, and that helps boost your immune response, your bone density, brain function.
Your hair, too. My hair guy can always tell when I've had a lot of vitamin D.
But then also, B vitamin complexes are critically important for energy production and brain and neurologic function. And resveratrol, because it improves the blood flow in your arteries, smooths out that endometrium. And there are studies showing that at least in women in their 50s, there's a direct correlation with the amount of blood flow to the brain and how much resveratrol they take. So, you know, we know it's kind of bizarre. I'm not trying to be sexist here. In fact, I'd like to be the opposite because I wish they'd do the study in men. But the only study on resveratrol and brain blood flow was done on women. So I can only prove that it works in women.
Okay.
My guess is it helps us guys too, which is why I take.
That's right. You take
a big whack of it, on the presumption that my wife Bandine is not the only one that's getting decreased blood flow to the brain with her age.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, that is it for the show today. So many people out in the sunshine, and I hope you're able to get some of that too. We hope to see you at a longevity clinic. We have three. So if you've been thinking, maybe I should come in and get that health analysis done. Yes, you should. Come on into any three of our clinics, Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood. We have them available for you. We have days, whatever times you're wanting. Very, very flexible for your busy schedule. So get on in to Longevity Medical Clinics. And this is what you do to make your appointment. 866-86-YOUNG is where you go. 866-86-YOUNG. Or go to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. When you're online, you can get information about the doctors. Dr. Mixon that is here today, Dr. Umat, also Dr. Pentland that has been in the studio, and all of the other doctors as well. You can also see videos of Dr. Mixon on some of those more important topics. And you can get a copy of our radio show every week. We'll put that on our website as well. About every Tuesday afternoon is when that shows up. And of course, information on how to get in touch with us. We want you to be as healthy as you can be. You have a wonderful rest of your Mother's Day weekend. I plan to play with my kids. We are headed on a picnic to Deception Pass today, and I cannot wait. All my kids, all my grandkids, and it's sunny. Oh, love that. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. We'll see you next time on Leading Edge Medicine.